If you realize, I think last week I was saying about my interview about genetic engineering. It's a very interesting topic. So I remember reading quite a lot of articles on this and even talking to people. And the more I was reading, I realized, you know, the many advances that we have, science have made, right? It's very marvelous when you look at certain things that's happening, right? When you look at the human point of view in terms of discoveries, in terms of inventions, in terms of findings, you know, it's very interesting, you know, how God has given us the knowledge to understand certain things. You know? And many a times, you know, one of the places, you know, that I like to visit is Best Buy, right? Right? The Best Buy, to the best place to spend your money, right? I like to go around walking. My wife knows pretty well. I go there just walking. One of the reasons is not just to admire, right? But just to admire the many advances in technology, right? I'm fascinated by looking at certain things. Like a little kid, I look at certain things and say, you know, how did these guys do this, right? Like today, I think you know about the drone and so many things are there out there, right? Technology is advancing, right? Everything is improving, right? Even when you look at the car magazines, what's happening? You know, the new models are coming with new features. Sometimes you can't imagine. You know, someone has actually thought through and found a lot of things. One of the things that really fascinate me is the GPS. Do you know what is GPS? Global Positioning System. I think many of you will have it in your car. Hello? Yes. Right? Sometimes you use our phone as GPS. And I'm really fascinated with this instrument because, you know, it knows, right? If you tell the GPS where you want to go, it will lead you, right? And you want a detour, it tells you. If you're lost along the way, it knows how to bring you there. And sometimes you feel, you know, I do not know what is the next turn, right? I've missed the exit. I've missed the turn. It tells you, make a U-turn, right? And so many times when I look at the GPS, you know, I'm really fascinated about this. And the more I look at the GPS, you know, I tell myself, you know, about God. You know, God knows the plan for my life. At the same time, there are times I feel, you know, I've messed up my life. I've made a wrong turn in my life. Will I come back according to His plan and His purposes? I'm lost. Have you realized, you know, sometimes there are moments in our life we feel, you know, I do not know what to do. I'm stuck, right? I do not know whether should I be turning right or should I be turning left. Like the GPS, what happens? You know, God even uses wherever you are. It might be a difficult or a bad event that has taken place in our life. But God uses everything, right? And, you know, in His sovereign will, like the GPS, you know, what He does, He brings us, right, according to His, when we realize we're in the wrong route, when we realize that we have taken a wrong turn, what happens? I think the Lord brings us by saying, okay, this is the next step you do. This is the turn that you have do, and then you're back on track. And I think the Bible tells me, I think God has a plan for us, right? Each and every one of you, right? And many times, you know, sometimes people think, you know, as if God is playing hide and seek with us, as if He's hiding His plan, right, in the cabinet that He doesn't want you to see. No, my friend, I think, right, many times we don't want to know our plan, but let me tell you, God is much more concerned about His plans for your life than you and I do. He's not playing a game that He's just hiding it and saying, you know, come and search. No, 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 no. He's much more concerned. He wants to reveal His plan to our life. He wants to show us the way, right? And the right way, and the right turns that we need to take in our lives. And so God wants to bring us accordingly. The passage that was just read to us, it's a passage, you know, that speaks to us about, from Paul writes, just to give you an overview of this particular passage, you know, Paul speaks to us about the walk of the believer in verse 15, right? He talks about the works of the believer in verse 16. And then he talks about the ways of the believer. In other words, you know, the way that he should be living, or God's plan, God's way, God desires for his life. Thomas Merton is a great writer, a very spiritual writer. He says, for each one of us, there is only one thing necessary to fulfill our own destiny according to God's will, to be what God wants to be. So in other words, you know, he says, God has a plan for each and every one of us. You know, the more I think about God's plan, I just marvel, because can you imagine there are so many millions of people in this world and God has a plan for me, for my life? Thomas Merton says, right, I think he, and it's our desire is to know God's will. Three things which I'd like to share with you today. The first thing is, in according to the verse that we just read today, it says, therefore, in verse 17, I'm just going to focus on verse 17 today, right? And look at, just pick up some words from this particular passage, and just we will go from there. It says, let's understand. It says, do not be foolish, but understand, right? And I was trying to find out, I like word study, and what is the meaning of the word understand? In our common mind, you know, it's, you know, something that I can, you know, understand. In other words, I know. That is the way we look at the word understand, right? But in according to the Greek word, it is not like that, right? The word understand in the Greek word is to bring together, the coming together, right? It's the joining together. It's not that, you know, I have perceived, I know. That's not the way. In the Greek word, it means that God is bringing together. In other words, Paul is saying in this particular passage, you know, there are choices that we make in our life. Sometimes we make bad choices in our life. Sometimes we make good choices or wrong decisions in our life. But God, with all the choices that we have made in our life, right, together with his sovereign will, he brings it together, my friend. Many a times, as I told you, we feel, yes, I made this, you know, I'm messed up, that's the end of my life, that's the end, I can see that end of the tunnel. But God uses all these things, right? And then, together with his sovereign will, with all the challenges that we have faced, with all the wrong turns we have done, and even the right turns that we have done, right? God brings it together, my friend. And that's what Paul is saying here. And so some of us here can say, you know, I've made a wrong turn, there's no way out. But you know, God says, if you're aware of that, I can still use that, right? In other words, your experiences, I can use your experiences, your struggles, the things that happened in your past, I can even use that so that beyond that, with my will, like two roads merging together, I will fulfill and in your life. So what is, and it says in this particular word, so that's the way, right, coming together. And so God can still use us, right, no matter what, where we are. As I told you about the GPS, when, you know, sometimes the GPS knows, right, when you're stuck, it picks up signals from the satellite, from different satellites, and it brings us together. To understand, and how do I understand? And it says, right, to understand, not just simply understand. It says, you understand in God's perspective. That's the way Paul is saying. You know, in other words, he's saying, you know, you don't understand by your own lenses. You wear God's lenses. In other words, you understand through things through God's perspective, how God looks at it. And God looks at it in a very heavenly perspective, my friend. Like God, so everything we need to be seeing through from God's perspective, from God's lenses. And that's what Paul is trying to talk here. Right? Many times, you know, we, as I told you in my past sermons, we are very short-sighted. We tend to see the short things. It's about the now and the then kind of a thing, right? And that's why we're always seen as a sheep. But the Lord looks on a different, on a heavenly perspective. Maybe not now. God is leading us through difficult moments in our life, right? or maybe we have made the wrong choices, we are struggling, and then the Lord says, yeah, what to do, right? You have turned, took a wrong turn, probably you need to travel another half an hour, another 45 minutes, right? And then I will bring you to the heavenly route. I think God wants us to see things, and that's what Paul says. You know, look things from a heavenly perspective, from God's perspective, not your perspective. And when God does things, you know, like the verse that we read today, right, in His time, in His way, we do not know when, we do not know how long, but when you realize, when we look at things in God's perspective, God turns us, and then He brings us according to His time, and He knows in His own pace, my friend. Secondly, it also says, you know, you understand from God's providence. In other words, as I told you, you know, God uses all events of our life, right? God uses all events of our life. And I was looking at this, I'm just reminded of Joseph. I think you know Joseph very well, right? In the Bible, if you've gone to Sunday school, you realize what happened to Joseph. What did the brothers do, right? They threw him in the pit. Then they sold him to the Egyptians. Merchants who were just coming, right? Young man, nice guy, was very obedient to his father, but this is what he don't deserve to be thrown into a pit. But Joseph was in a pit, and then finally he land up in the palace as a slave, as a servant. He's working there. Even there, he's thrown into prison for being good, for being upright, for being righteous. Can you imagine? You know, I'm doing good things, but I'm still being punished, right? And if you realize, Joseph was very faithful in his life. And then in verse 15, Joseph says, right, in verse chapter 50, verse 20, you intended to harm me. You intended, he's telling his brothers, your intentions were bad, right? You wanted to, you know, harm me, but God intended it for good. Yes, there are difficult things. I went through the pit. I was sold. I was deprived of being with my brothers, right? I was deprived of staying at home, enjoying food at home. I was taken away from all the privileges of my life, right? When I was thrown into the prison, Joseph could have easily complained, you know, but God used all that, my friend. What happened? He became the person who was saving lives. He could have just blamed the situations and said, you know, why, Lord, why pit? Joseph cannot be in the palace before going to the pit, my friend. Joseph cannot be a Pharaoh before becoming a slave, right? God intended it for good. But I think it tells us, I think we must be faithful at every moment of our life. Joseph was always faithful. Things were bad. But even then, I think, finally he said, you know, God always does things with a purpose. Right? When I enjoy reading Paul's writing. This great, you know, the writer of many of the epistles, like prison epistle, Pauline epistle, and all that, is Paul, right? If you realize, Paul wrote a lot of letters from prison. But because of the letters that he wrote, today we are hearing, we are preaching, we are studying, we are trying to understand, you know, the mind of God. He could have said, you know, why? I'm doing God's work. Why should I be thrown into a prison? Why should I go, you know, to that particular place? I'm being tortured. You know, sometimes, many a times, God uses even difficult events in our life and teaches us, you know, if sometimes we say, yes, I've made a wrong turn, and the Lord knows that, you know, He tells you, no, you don't go back and turn again, because that's a wrong turn. He uses that so that we don't go back. He uses the good ones and also says, yes, this is the way. He uses everything together, my friend, and shows us the way. I'll just skip the next one, which is Jeremiah 29:10, right? If you realize, as I told you, why this particular verse, right? Verse 11 is different. But then, if you realize there's a connection between verse 10 and 11, you know, they have to go through bondage before God has a plan to bless them and to see His blessings in their lives. And so we need to understand, right, that understand things from God's perspective. Right? God has His own time, His own way of doing things. And it's always heavenly thing. It brings us much more closer to Him and closer to be like Christ. And then God uses all events of our life, difficulties, challenges, struggles. He uses everything, right, to teach us, to help us, at the same time, to use us for His glory. Secondly, I thought I'll just teach you something, you know, in terms of when you say the will of God, you know, sometimes we will say, hey, what is the will of God? You know, is it something there, out there? Just let me teach you on this, you know, when Paul uses the word, the Lord's will. What is the Lord's will, right? A couple of things I thought, you know, I'll teach you from this particular thing. Firstly, if you realize it's a providential will of God, you know, in theology, when you study, they say, the will of God is, firstly, is the providential will of God, right? And so what does it mean? It means that, you know, whatever God has promised, whatever has been said in the Bible, the Lord will do it. Like, for example, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the dying of the cross, right? The resurrection, the rapture of the church, the return of Christ, the judgment seat, right, the sufferings, the tribulation, whatever God has said, He will bring it to pass. That is called the providential will of God, and nothing will change that. And that's God's plan for the entire world. You know, sometimes you might think, Pastor, you know, a lot of tribulations are happening. What's happening? That's God's plan, my friend. That's disaster in Texas. It's God's plan. Right? There are certain things that things needs to happen before we see the return of Christ in God's way. So that's called the providential plan of God. Secondly, you know, when you look at this particular word very carefully, you know, it also says it's a received will of God. And when I look at Paul's writing, you know, Paul is saying, he's talking about, you know, the received will of God. In other words, you know, God has given us His word. Right? He's not talking about the providential will of God. That is, God has His plan for the world, right? And He will do it because He has said it and He will do it. But when Paul talks here, he's actually talking about the received will of God. And this is what we have received, my friend. You and I have received it. You can hold it, you can touch it. And that's what Paul is saying. You know, you need to be understanding God's will. In other words, he says, you have received God's word, you are reading it, and you need to be found doers of God's word. Every Sunday, every day, we are reading God's word, right? But are we doers of God's word? And that's what Paul is saying. You know, we have received God's word. Why do we receive? So that we will live alive according to God's word. Today, we have a lot of people who just hear God's word every time, right? But are we doers? What's the point of just hearing but not doing? You just hear but you don't do. Then it means that you have not really exactly heard, right? If you have the way Paul says, you know, you have received God's word, the inspired word of God. That's the way God speaks to us many times. You know, you need to be found doing. I was reading a story about a young girl. Sometimes I know some of things happens in our house these days. It's about a young girl. She was 3 years old. It's a very interesting story, you know. Her name is Elizabeth. And so what was happening, she was in a grandma's house, and she's soiled, you know, her clothes. And the grandma saw that. And so the grandma called her, Elizabeth, can you come here? Because the grandma wanted to change her clothing. She called Elizabeth. She called Elizabeth. And finally she called, Elizabeth Provost, come here. What happens? I think first time she called her by the first name. And then finally when she called her by the full name, probably some of us has three names, right? full name, we know something is serious, right? I think in your homes would have happened, right? If mom calls you by first name, up when she calls you with the surname and together, something is wrong. And so what happened? I think she immediately ran to the grandma. And the grandma said, I've been calling you, right? And now you're coming. And this is what the young girl said. She said, my ears, yes, mama, she said, my ears did hear you, right? But my legs didn't hear you. My ears did hear you. Everybody realize sometimes when our parents call us, our kids know, right? They know, they've heard the parents' voice. And she was so smart enough to tell, my ears heard you, but not my legs, right? And that's why I did not come to you. Sometimes, when I was looking at the story, I was smiling at, like you. Many times we hear what God has wanted us to do in our lives, but are we doing it? That's the thing, my friend. It's no point hearing the voice of God, hearing God's will be revealed to us, right? We need to be found doing. Even our legs have to be found doing. That's why when James talks about it, he says, show me your faith, right? Your faith is seen by your works, my friend. If not, it's a dead faith. If I have faith, it is also shown through my works. As I told you before, it's like two feet. Like, it's faith, works. Faith, works. If not, you'll be just limping. And so James says, you need to be found walking faith. I have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and my faith is shown in my works. And so faith, works. Faith, works. If not, we will be just limping, my friend. It will be a limping Christian life altogether. And so when Paul uses the word, he says, you have received God's will. Before you want to know what is God's will in your life, start obeying the revealed will of God. In other words, God has said the things that we need to be found doing. He's given us commandments, even given us instructions, right? So he says, you need to be found obedient to God's word before the Lord speaks to you about your personal will. If you realize, we want to know our personal will, but the Lord says, yes, before I can do that, I want you to obey my word. Right? I want you to obey the commands I've actually given you before you can hear my personal plan for your life. Today we want to hear personal, but not God's word. And that's what Paul is trying to say here. It's revealed word of God. And then he uses another way. He says, the revealed word of God. I know, it's interesting. I realize in the coming years, and many of you will be getting married. Amen? Hello? Many of you will be getting married. Amen? Those high schoolers shouldn't reply. Okay? So, so what is the revealed word of God? I think, for example, if you're getting married, I know when you go to university, that's the time you try to see the young, handsome-looking man or the pretty girl, right? And that's the time, And so what happens, I think, by the way, when you go to university, you're actually meant to go and study, okay? So, but what happens, along the way, if you see. Yeah, so don't use Pastor Vincent as, Pastor Vincent said, so this is why I'm going to university. No. So, when the time for marriage comes, right, what's happening? It is revealed about, the Lord talks to us about that. He tells us, do not be yoked with an unbeliever. So what's happening, right? It has been spoken. So in other words, it's been revealed to us. Yes, I shouldn't be yoked with an unbeliever, right? And so the Lord is telling me. At the same time, when you look at Proverbs, there are qualities that the Bible mentions about the spouse. And so what's happening? You're looking, right? So what's happening? You're looking from God's perspective. Because when you look from your perspective, you always look at the outside, right? Oh, the person looks nice. He or she speaks so nicely. But when you look at God's perspective, when the time comes for you to get married, you know, you look at the Word, what the Word says on this area, and I try to see from God's perspective. And God provides according to His time. The reason I put this particular word, you know, I was looking some word study, and I realized it's very interesting. Proverbs 16:9 and Psalm 37:23 says, you know, how God reveals His plan. You know, if you look at it, the word ordered and directs comes here, right? It means, the word order means, before I'm born, God already knew. He has already planned in advance for my life. And then the word, when you look at the word, He directs, it means the Lord provides the way, and it means step by step. God has already had a plan for your life, my friend, for your life, for your career, for your studies. But then what happens? I think, you know, he directs us by step by step. So when I go this step, when I'm done with this, the Lord brings me to the another step. And then He brings me to another step. And that's what He says. He already ordered my life. He has actually planned in advance for my life. But whether I'm conscious of His presence, right, and I'm listening to His voice, I'm seeing things from the Bible perspective and trying to do, if I'm just following step by step. And that's why Paul uses the word when he writes to the Galatian church, right, to be led by the Spirit. Let me finish with this. How do I know God's will? First thing is from God's word, my friend. I think thy word is a lamp for my feet, a light to my path. The will of God will never contradict, right, the word of God. Every time God's will is always synchronizes with God's word. When I was in Singapore, my wife and I had an opportunity to meet a person, right? And this girl, by the way, she was married, and so she came to us. She came and spoke to us. And she said, you know, I'm going to divorce. And I was surprised. I said, why? She said, the Lord told me. Thank God I did not ask her which God told you. And she said, you know, I went and someone prayed for me, and they prophesied saying that because, you know, the husband and wife had certain issues which can be worked out, right? They can iron it out easily. And this particular person actually said a word of prophecy, right? And by saying, you know, God's plan that you need to divorce. So, you know, sometimes it's nice for her to hear, wow, finally. But if you look at it, you know, the will of God will never contradict the word of God. God wants us to be together, to work things out together, right? And that's an example. So every time, you know, that if the Lord is leading me or guiding me, it will never contradict God's word. So the best place to go, God's word for guidance, my friend. Secondly, you know, go for wise counsel. If you look at all these verses, it says, you know, go not for just counsel, but for wise counsel. And I would suggest godly counsel. People who love the Lord, just go for them. It says, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. Right? Make good friends in your campuses. Make good friends in your life. People who love the Lord, who know, who fear God. When you go to them, you know, let me tell you, you know, they will help you out. Right, and so even in Proverbs 19:20, it says, "Listen to advice and accept discipline." Right, and in all these verses, you realize, you know, it tells you, "Go for advice, go for guidance." Right, I think that's the thing. You know, start with the Scripture. What does the Scripture tells me? Secondly, go for advice, go for counsel, for guidance. I would suggest, you know, you should have a mentor, every one of us, right? You should have a mentor for your life and seek advice. Pray with them. Even when you go to your campus, you know, wherever you go, even in your workplace, if you found someone is, you know, who loves the Lord, right? And then seek advice. Your small groups is another platform for you to talk, right? Seek advice, you know, and get guidance. So that's the way the Lord leads. And you realize, you know, when you seek advice, what's happening? The Lord reveals. I mean, sometimes the Lord speaks to them and says, you know, this is the way, this is good for you. It also says, accept discipline, right? Not just listen and just say, oh yeah, I've heard, and then I still take my own turn. No. And that's the way, you know, begin to know God's will. I don't know how many of you, you know, I like this, which is called the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Have you realized sometimes this, you feel the Spirit of God telling you something? Right, in my pastoral ministry, right, I have, right, sometimes when I hear people, immediately the Spirit of God prompts me in certain things and says, you know, this is what you need to say. This is what you have to pray for the particular person. My wife and I have actually experienced this a lot in our ministry, you know, the Spirit of God just prompting you. Have you realized that the moments in our life, in the middle of the night, 3 o'clock, you get up and the Lord says, pray for so and so. Suddenly out of the blue, right, you are just getting up 2 o'clock and you're praying. That is the work of the Holy Spirit, my friend. You are not doing it by accident. There are moments in our life when we are in tune with God. There are moments the Lord says, pray for so and so. The person needs your prayer. That your person needs that encouragement. You need to send an email and just to encourage them. And so what's happening? So you are, when you are in tune with the Spirit, let me tell you, the Spirit of God speaks to us. Right. Lastly, right, when you are in the will of God, you'll always have the inner peace. You'll always have the inner peace. That's why Paul uses in Philippians 4:19, and the peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. In other words, you will have the peace, right? When you are doing God's will, there's always a peace. Probably you're thinking, you know, I have to decide something, and then finally you've decided. You might also feel God's peace. Many times when we make wrong decisions, there is no peace, right? We struggle. Go back to God's word. Seek God's guidance. God's will never contradict God's word, right? Seek advice, counsel, godly advice, right? People who love you, who pray for you, right? Go to them, talk to them. And many a times, you know, the Lord will also use them as his instrument. Thirdly, prompting of the Spirit. There are moments when we are in touch with the Spirit, the Spirit of God speaks to us, right? And then we will have the inner peace. I want to finish, right, by... I shouldn't ask you a question like this, but let me... I know, maybe in one of our time, you know, we have gone to Salvation Army, right? Sometimes you go to Salvation Army because sometimes you get the best thing. Hudson Bay also doesn't carry that. They have the unique things, right? And this Miriam Booth is actually the daughter of the founder of Salvation Army, right? The founder of Salvation Army is William Booth, right? And she's the daughter. And I like the words of her. And when you look at the word, you know, and when she was, you know, when she came into ministry, right? She started the ministry very powerful. It was a very powerful ministry. She realized, you know, God was just blessing her with that ministry, and she was able to touch lives. Can you imagine, you know, she responded to God's call, and she was just, her ministry was just flourishing within a limited period of time. Then suddenly, sickness caught hold of her that she was to the point of death. Things, she was just in tune with God, and she was doing what God wanted, you know. Ministry was successful. Lives were being transformed, right? Her ministry should continue, but sickness affected her life. And then she was almost at the point of death. Her friend came to her and said, you know, I can't imagine, you know, your life, you should have actually lived much more because you know, you are a wonderful instrument, a useful instrument. And these are the words of Miriam Booth to her friend. She said, it is great to do the Lord's work, but it's greater to do the Lord's will. Can you imagine? It's great to do God's work, but it's greater, the best thing is to do the Lord's will, my friend. Yes, we do God's work. We do wonderful work. It's good, but let us be in tune. Let us be found doing God's will. Question: are you truly in the will of God? Let's pray. Dear church, have you ever realized that this God is very much concerned about our lives, that He wants to reveal His will to us much more than we want to know what is our will? He is much more concerned. Sometimes we say, you know, I messed up. I've made wrong turns in my life. But God, in His providence, He knows even we are messed up. We think we have no way out. But the Lord says, no, even I can use your wrong turns. It can be a time of learning. It can be a time of discipline. It can be a time of knowing who you are. And all that, I can use it with my sovereign will. I can bring you according to my will. Are we doers of the revealed word of God, my friend? Today we want to know God's will. That's wonderful. But God says, you need to do the revealed word of God, which is revealed to us. The scriptures are given to us. Let me challenge you and encourage you, wherever you are in your life, wherever you're going, in campuses or even in your workplace, ask God, Lord, am I in your will? Look to the scriptures for guidance. Seek counsel. Listen to the voice of the Spirit in you. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are concerned about our lives more than we are concerned about our lives, Father. We thank you, Lord, because your word says, before we were formed in our mother's womb, you knew us, O God. Oh, what a loving God and what a powerful God that we serve and we love. Lord, when we are going through a time of hopelessness, help us, Lord, to know that there is always hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we think, O God, that nothing can come better in my life, help us to know, Lord, that my Savior is there to just come along with me. Help us, Lord, to listen to your word, listen to the voice of the Spirit. We thank you once again for your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah, before we have the offering prayer, I think I'm going to invite Pastor, Senior Pastor, Pastor Simon Sid, you know, to come and share with us. You know, many of you will know that, you know, our church, you know, we love to do missions. I think we don't want to contain the gospel in our church, right? We want to be, to bring the great, to be found doers of the Great Commission. We want to bring God's love, right, to